Craig, be honest with me. 3-4 months ago when they started telling this idea of a hub city, how much percentage of success did you give it of actually happening?
3-4 months ago, 50-50. You know, because I was waiting to see. I really was right down the middle. And, you know, we had to wait to see what was going to happen with the virus. And, you know, but that's where I was. I moved to 75-25. And, you know, the virus and the pandemic right now is got a mind of its own, as we know. So I like the NHL's plan. I think it's been really, really well thought out. Collaboration has been outstanding. And, you know, I think to this point in time, getting the players into phase three, now the next hurdle to get over is getting everybody into the hub cities. And I like what Gary Bettman said today with respect to, for the first 5 days at least, there's going to be no excursions outside the bubble. To try to get everything in order, to try to get everybody comfortable, to make sure that even something that can be innocent doesn't create a problem. So I really like the fact that as time is moving closer to the puck being dropped on games, that still they're really understanding what they have to do to try to minimize risk to the greatest extent possible.
When you look at the announcement, the excitement around a new group, the Seattle Kraken, they've got all their new jerseys and their name. Everyone's fired up. But how leery will other GMs be now looking back on what Vegas did as far as maneuvering and in many cases outmaneuvering their fellow GMs?
So what I would say, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So, you know, it was a long time between expansions of 2000 when Minnesota and Columbus came into the league to when Vegas came in. So, you know, there's a lot of intel that's come from what Vegas did. So the GMs are going to have to be, you know, really, really smart. And in the case of Vegas, George McPhee, Kelly McCrimmon et al. Did a fantastic job. They exploited the situation. They pushed GMs into scenarios where, they got a lot more out of expansion than any team was required to give up. But, that's just being shrewd. Well, now all the other managers have the benefit of that experience. They have to learn from it. The interesting thing, though, and I'm a big believer in this in a salary cap world, you always have to be ready to give yourself flexibility with respect to the salary cap. And I'm not just talking under normal circumstances, under all circumstances. So, you know, it's nobody's fault that the pandemic came about. It's nobody's fault that the cap is going to remain flat for the 2020-2021 season. But teams that don't have that flexibility, they did it to themselves. And there's going to be an opportunity for Ron Francis in Seattle to take advantage of teams that didn't leave themselves that flexibility. So, you know, even though we look at expansion and look at what Vegas did so successfully, you know, some teams still continue to put themselves in salary cap constraints. And, it's one of those things where Ron Francis says, I have a key to those constraints. And if you want the key, here's what it's going to cost you.
Yeah, and it's amazing when you think about that, because it's, you know, the salary cap not moving might actually play into Ron Francis' advantage, because guys are going to need some freedom. You know, it's going to be tight. There are teams that need to re-sign people. And, you know, and if the cap's not going up, it's going to be mighty tough for these guys to make choices. So, I mean, I'm sure Ron Francis is right now going through everyone's cap-friendly page to figure out who those teams are.
Yeah, no question he is. And, you know, and not just who those teams are, but also, okay, what areas do they want to try to take advantage of? What player do they want? What young players have they identified that they think can be really part of not only their present, but their future and continue to build with that? And I think that was one of the, you know, the key things. You think of somebody like Nate Schmidt. You think about William Karlsson. I mean, those were two great examples to me of them identifying young players and saying, okay, you don't want us to take that guy. Here's what we need and this. And, you know, certainly that's how you, build your team. But, you know, when you think about Ron Francis, I mean, he operated under the last expansion with Vegas as the GM of the Carolina Hurricanes. So he was one of those GMs that was on the other side. He was one of those GMs that certainly received calls from Vegas. And when you now consider he is now going to be one to try to take the greatest advantage, he also understands from his own experiences what the vulnerabilities are. And, you know, I think with the flat cap, there's going to be ample opportunity to take advantage of those teams, as you point out, that are in cap jail.
Let's joined by Craig Button, the NHL on TSN, the cap analyst, or sorry, not cap, the big looking at all the different players and prospects. When you look at Craig, this the Canadian teams. Let's start with Vancouver. What are the plus and minuses of Vancouver Canucks as they get ready to start their exhibition games on Tuesday?
Number one, the return of Jacob Markstrom. I mean, I think that he was one of the best five goalies in the National Hockey League this year. And, you know, him being healthy, I think allows the Canucks to be able to play to their strengths. They have an offensive bent to their game. They have six excellent forwards up front. And they're not great defensively. So Markstrom cleans things up behind them and, you know, gives them the confidence to continue to play the game they have. So I think he's really key for not only the way they play, but for their chances to move past the play-in round.
Well, what about the mighty Calgary Flames?
Yeah, I really think this is Colorado Avalanche Redux 2.0. I think the Winnipeg Jets play very similarly to how the Colorado Avalanche annihilated the Flames last year. Those forwards are quick. Their transition game is exceptional, and they don't linger in their own zone. They know they're not. They know what the defensemen that left their organization, that they had to play a little bit differently. Those forwards get back, they support the defense, and then get going the other way. And that's exactly where I think Calgary is vulnerable. So, you know, I kind of gave you the Calgary problem. I mean, I think their six top forwards are good. I don't like their speed in their bottom two lines overall. And I like Winnipeg's speed, you know, from their entire group of players. And I think that's something that really creates a lot of problems for the Calgary Flames.
Well, it doesn't help that you lose out on Hamonic, you know, and I think Hamonic is a pretty, because if you lose another guy, Craig, another D-man, now you got yourself a pretty significant problem.
Well, you do. And you know, like, there's no question that Travis can play in your group of six. So now you've lost a defenseman that's very competent. I mean, Eric Gustafson comes in. He's more of an offensive power play specialist. So you lose that element from him. I mean, you bump Rasmus Anderson up into that hole, you know, to fill it where Hamonic was. But no question about it, the absence will be felt.
Let's take a look at then go a little bit further east. When you look at the Montreal Canadiens, a team that, you know, where do you see them having their chances or no chance in this one?
Well, you know, I look at Pittsburgh, and you know, we talk about, okay, Shea Weber, I mean, he's still really high-end defenseman. And, you know, Carey Price is, you know, a top-notch goaltender. But it's not enough. It's not enough when Crosby and Malkin, and then you look at Gensel returning, the trade for Zucker, they have Hornquist, Brian Rust had an excellent year, Jared McCann, they push you, you know, in that area. You know, Tanev has been a really excellent addition to the Penguins. So they really push you and disrupt you from the bottom of their lineup, and then they're able to overwhelm you offensively from the top part of their lineup. Brian Dumoulin is back. He's an underrated player. Letang is healthy. You know, John Marino, a rookie drafted by the Edmonton Oilers, has been a really solid player for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And, you know, Matt Murray has two Stanley Cups under his belt. And I know there's a lot of talk about where Matt Murray is or where he isn't. But I just think it's a simple case of too much Pittsburgh Penguins for the Montreal Canadiens to be able to handle. And keep in mind, Jason, Montreal traded Nate Thompson, Nick Cousins, and Ilya Kovalchuk. So they definitely declared where they were at leading into the trade deadline. And now you've left yourself short in the depth department. Yeah, I think you always allow for some type of an upset, but I think Pittsburgh's too much.
And we got to ask about the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I think they could be a real wild card in this year's playoffs.
I think they can be a wild card for a lot of different reasons. They can be a wild card for the good. They can be a wild card for the inconsistent. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, we look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, we know that they want to play offensively and they want to attack, and that's their MO and everything. But you know, that's great. But, you know, the Columbus Blue Jackets played a more talented, a better offensive team last year in the Tampa Bay Lightning. And the Tampa Bay Lightning were not able to find a solution for the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Columbus Blue Jackets are excellent defensively. They don't beat themselves. They're in every competitive contest, whether it be for the puck, whether it be for space. And, I mean, they're exceptionally well coached. So, you know, when I look at a team like Columbus that can totally exploit an offensive team with their weaknesses, and think about it, Jason, what did Tampa Bay go and learn from that series, that early exit last year? They realized, we need more Blake Coleman and Barkley Goodrow. We don't need more skill. They had enough skill. I don't think Toronto's figured it out.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting. It's a tough, sometimes those lessons are very difficult to answer. And I guess one last one, we got to talk about the team here in Edmonton with the Edmonton Oilers.
Okay, can I just interject real quick too? Because I want to come back to a team that you were very successful with, the Kamloops. Yeah, you look at your team and you look at the teams that won those Memorial Cups. Yeah, you had Darcy Tucker and yeah, you had Jerome McGinley, Shane Doan, but you also had the Ryan Huskas. And the Tyson Nashes, right? That, you know, like the game was played on your terms, whether it was an offensive side of the game or whether it was, you know, getting out there and forcing the play and creating turnovers and making life uncomfortable. And that's where I think Tampa Bay has clearly looked to strengthen their team. And that's where I think that where Toronto really still lacks.
Yeah, and it is true because you want to have all your fancy players, but you need guys that can grind and get things done in those uglier games and find a way to contribute without scoring. And I know that sounds crazy, but, you know, if you're not a scorer, how are you contributing? And I always found, you know, go back to those teams, those guys, they carried the play. They maybe didn't score all the time, but they carried the play into the other team's zone, and then you put your skill guys out there and they're able to have an easier time of it.
Exactly, and you're just wearing the opponent down, shift after shift after shift, right? And, you know, that is contributing because ultimately, you know, you're trying to win four games, and the more you can wear your opponent down and get them uncomfortable and get them unsettled, the greater advantage you're going to have. And that's why, you know, the different types of players, as you point out, are so critically important to success.
Well, Craig, I'm sure you got a big pickleball game tonight, so we'll let you go. Have a good weekend. I can't wait next week. We'll be talking about getting ready and getting fired up.
We will, after watching some exhibition games. You have a great weekend. And let me just quickly, you were going to ask me, I interrupted you.
Yeah.
I don't think the Chicago Blackhawks have a chance against the Oilers.
It's going to be tough for them, I think, too. Yeah. I think it's going to be fun to see who they play in the second or the first, whatever, the second series. Let's call it that.
Right.
Craig, take care, and best of luck in your pickle game match. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks. Yeah.